Hi, hi, and welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And yeah, we've got lots of questions this week, haven't we?
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. Our prodigal Canada has returned to us.
We missed her so much.
We got some great questions. But first, I have to ask you guys like something really important. How many Snorlaxes do you have?
I don't know, because unlike you, I didn't hoard them. I ground them into candy. I have 3 currently. I had, I don't know, probably around 9 or something.
I have 13.
Mm-hmm. I've got my original Snorlax, which I hatched from an egg back in 2016.
That's my weakest one now. My original.
Yeah,
one.
But I've also got what's the pre-evolution of Snorlax called again?
Is there one? I thought they were just
yes, there is.
Born fat and there's sleepy.
there's like a little
me.
They've been coming out of eggs.
Yeah.
I haven't got my phone with me, otherwise I'd tell you. But yeah, I've got a couple of those from eggs, and they're really cute. I've only caught one sleeping one. I went to the park today, and my phone was on low battery, so I couldn't play Pokemon Go while I was running. But I did turn it on when I got back to the gym, and there was one just sleeping next to the fitness equipment, which was very sweet.
It evolves from a Munchlax, which
that's it. Yeah, I've got a couple of Munchlaxes.
Sounds really disgusting.
It sounds like a cute cat.
It's like a weird little cat.
Yeah,
it does. It looks like a cat with a fur dress.
Yeah,
and it's fucking wide awake, dude.
It's all that growing. It grows very big and it makes it very tired. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a big eater.
Oh man, one of its abilities is called thick fat.
What?
Pick up or thick fat. Yep. And its hidden ability is gluttony.
Oh.
Or no, okay. it has the ability gluttony.
Thick fat's probably the Japanese translation of what it does.
What was the Japanese translation? Sorry, what?
I said it's probably the, I'm assuming it's probably the Japanese translation of its ability. Like, I don't know. I'm guessing it's not thick fat in America, because I can't think of any, I can't think of any of my Pokemon ever using anything called thick fat.
I want to go out and do it right now. I want to get all my Pokemon to learn that move. It's a good move.
Yeah, I was telling Claire before you came in that, I'm impatiently trying to get my Mudkip completed on a candy cycle so that I can swap it out.
Because oh, yeah.
I want to put my Snorlax in there, but I refuse to waste the effort.
The worst thing in the world about that buddy system is that if you put a Mewtwo or any of the what are they called again? God, the
legendaries.
Legend. If you put a legendary in as your buddy, it's 5k for a single candy.
Oh yeah,
fuck off, fuck off. Whereas if you put like an EV or whatever, it's only like 1 or 2k. But
yeah,
it's much easier. But yeah,
I'm not, all right, we not got kidding. That out of but our
I,
system.
I had a Raikou as my buddy for a long time because I wanted to make it powerful, and then I just went fuck that. I've walked like 500 kilometers and I've still only got 3 candies. I couldn't be bothered anymore. So Mr. Mime is now going to be my buddy forever, and I don't care.
Forever and ever.
It's not about what candies I want. It's just because I love Mr. Mime.
Shall we take a question?
Why not?
Why not? We also got some totally anonymous ones.
So. totally
anonymous. So this first one comes in from our estranged closet in Canada, who asks us, how can I tell what advice from the internet is good advice and what is bad advice? If you're getting it from this podcast, it's all bad.
No, I was going to say it's all bad unless it's from us.
Yeah, then I think
we're the only reliable source, which is why everyone should be asking us for advice.
I think Claire's got it right.
I think
if you want, if you take advice, because I mean, we actually do. When we give out advice, we actually give out pretty good advice, from what I can remember. I don't think we've ever encouraged. I don't think we've ever actually encouraged anyone to do anything illegal.
We give out good advice because we always took bad advice, and that's how we got here.
Yeah.
That's how we became the success we are today. By that thing, you should be taking bad advice and acting on it. You can end up like, but don't don't take bad advice.
Don't take bad advice.
That's fine. We have a disclaimer.
Me too. It was like the first thing we did together was make a disclaimer. Oh.
I think we're very much a do as we say, not as we do kind of.
Pretty much.
We did that and it didn't work, so don't do that. Is the tenet of a lot of our advice.
Here's the way we did it. And here's the way we probably should have done it in retrospect.
Yes.
Okay, That's funny. Legitimately, if I don't joke, I would say the only way to find good advice online is never to act on anything instantly. I always gather and see what comes up multiple times.
Yeah.
And from what sources, and then try to, if I can, try to verify in some way if this is a good thing to do.
I only go searching for bad advice. I like to seek it out. Mostly for this podcast, but in case we run up dry.
Yeah, I think that the only place I actually take actual advice from on the internet is official sources, like, say, mental health. If I'm going to go for proper advice, I'm not going to bloody put my bim bam on and follow what they say.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's kind of, if I see enough people say something, then I go to verify, is this actually a good thing to do? I'm going to ask my doctor or whatever.
Definitely. Got it. Yeah. So basically don't do anything that the internet says until you ask someone outside the internet.
Dude, baby body just walked into the house and like flipped me the double bird. Didn't say hello, didn't say anything, just
recording and I'm trying to be respectful.
Oh, okay.
By flipping the bird.
Oh, it was respectful. It was respectfully flipping you off.
She was respectfully flipping me off.
Well, that's always a good thing. I don't think my daughter knows how to do that, actually, which is hilarious to me. I think my kids are so sheltered.
Oh, see, we were all made into fiends because my kindergarten teacher was always just like, "It's just a finger," and so then we all took advantage of that because flipped each other out because it's just a finger.
But it's the rude finger.
when baby Vi was an actual baby, she used to point with her middle finger. I think that's like a normal thing.
Oh, I
though.
Still do. It's going to get me in trouble one day because I also press buttons with my middle finger. Someone's going to think I'm like passive aggressively like flicking them off when they're standing behind me. Like I'll be like getting a soda or something and I'm like poke with my middle finger and I'm like, I'm sorry, it's my longest finger. It makes sense to use.
I used to always love those ones where you sort of casually lean on your chin on your chin on your hand and
sort of,
rub your eyebrow with your middle finger when you're pissed off at someone.
I think my favorite one was on Broad City where someone was like, "You girls should smile more," and they both like pushed up the corners of their mouths with their middle fingers into smiles. Yes.
Girls flipping off boys is always fun.
Yep.
But she shouldn't be flipping off her mum. That's disrespectful. Or respectful.
Well.
Yeah. Whatever.
I raised her that way. I deserve it. When it comes to parenting, you do reap what you sow.
It's so funny. I mean, talking about being disrespectful and stuff like that. I mean, we live in this really gentrified hippie area in Sydney. Like, it's stupidly expensive and there's a coffee shop at every corner and I was coming back from my run thinking about doing the Taco Bell update to try and find out when Taco Bell's gonna open here and what. And I was like, if I could actually petition for it to be like round the corner from my house.
Yeah,
Taco Bell down the road, and I can actually as I was walking home from the park, I was like, I can hear every single person in every single house as I'm passing them going, "Fuck you, we don't want Taco Bell here." And we're just going, "Fuck you, I do." it would make me so happy if we could have it next door.
You could just go Taco Bell every day and walk by smiling, munching on it.
This is your fault, Imogen. This is
your fault. And send us Pokemon gifts from it because it'll be a Pokestop immediately.
Better be a Pokestop. It was funny how They didn't upgrade. They did an upgrade recently, and they added a few more Pokestops in. And it was always just a bit of a shock for me, even going around the park. And before I could only get like 2 or 3 Pokestops, and now I can get like 10. It's great.
Yeah, they slowly add them in as people petition or whatever
to have them taken out and put in and whatever. Philistine.
Well, in Japan, they actually pay a fee to be a Pokestop because it's like advertising.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some places are, like, Starbucks and Sprint stores are all paid.
Yeah.
So you can... every Sprint store and every Starbucks is a Pokestop.
My crit group meets in a Starbucks with a Sprint store next door, so they're both Pokestops. Nice. Actually, I think the Sprint store is actually a gym, but so I'm just, like, sitting there during crit group, like, alternating.
Unfortunately, my quick group meets in a pub that's nowhere near any Pokestops, so I'm often very, very bored.
Well, that's that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of ours are all churches.
I gave you a Church of Scientology.
Churches
one.
Are ones that always, like, those have never gone away, so I feel like they keep them just to draw people
in. We go and we'll walk laps around the parking lot at the Mormon church just down the block from us.
Yeah, I've gotten a few gifts. I've gotten a few Mormon gifts from you and chuckled to myself.
And we, every now and then we get like approached by Mormons coming in and out. They're like, hi guys, good evening, nice night for a walk. And we're like, we're totally not standing here putting a lure on your church so that we can catch more Pokemon. Oh. Okay. Totally Anonymous asks... How do you ingratiate yourself in a new fandom? How do you fandom flirt with people who aren't used to your particular quirks? God, I feel... So this is... Something feels familiar about this. I mean...
this is relevant for you particularly, Brandon.
Oh my God!
Dipping your foot into Pokemon fandom. I mean, it's weird because Pokemon fandom is a weird fandom in that it's like... It's full of people... And the age range is like age six years to age 50 because Pokemon's been around for so long. So I don't know. Do you have fandom fights about whether Ash the series with Ash is canonical or whether the manga is canonical? Or
well, actually, canonical. I've heard that there is like drama in the Pokemon fandom over like which anime trainer was the best or something. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah,
obviously, I've only played the games. I didn't read the manga or the watch the anime or anything. However, I have promised Baby Bai that we will watch the first Pokemon movie because she says I will enjoy it.
You will.
That's the best one.
Yeah, it is definitely the best one. It's funny, actually, because my daughter's just getting to that age where she's a bit of a shipper. And it's very cute. But she's been reading Percy Jackson. Series.
What book is she on?
She's finished all of the Percy Jacksons. She's she's on the Egypt ones, I think now. I can't remember what they're called.
Oh man, she lapped me.
she's like me. She reads so fast. But anyway, she was massively shipping Percy and Annabelle in Percy Jackson, apparently the ship happens and there's a kiss and I just heard it from the other room go.
Well, yeah, you.
Funny.
By the third book, the only person who doesn't know that Percy's in love with Annabeth is Percy.
What a cutie! Anyway, she was very, very excited about that. But we were we had a little discussion about Pokemon and Ash in Pokemon because there's a couple of series of the show where one of the other trainers is madly in love with Ash. I think there's two separate trainers who are in love with him, and he is so. Fucking clueless. He has no idea. He's as dumb as a post about it. And he's just he has no interest. Like, he is asexual. Sorry, this is my headcanon for Ash. Ash Ketchum. He's totally
he's
asexual.
Also, like, he's 10 years old for the last 20 years or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to form meaningful relationships when you're never going to get to puberty. But he's He's only interested in Pokemon, and like literally these girls can be standing in front of him telling him that they love him, and he will just go, oh, look at that Snorlax over there. And,
so yeah, he's yeah. like every 10-year-old boy ever.
Yes, exactly. It's so funny. I don't know why that came in from trying to ingratiate yourself into the family. I think I was trying to ingratiate Brandon into the Pokemon fandom by...
Well, my experience with entering new fandoms is that there is always, without fail, a niche of people who are ready and willing to watch you fling yourself in and get emotional about everything all at once. Like, the bigger splash you make, like, just dive in. I doubled my Tumblr follower count when I decided to play Mass Effect for the first time.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because I hadn't played them yet, and 3 was just on its way out, and so everybody, like, grouped up to watch me do it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the best way to do it is to jump in. Do whatever you can. If you draw art. If you write. If you don't do any of those, just write about. Just flail for everyone to see, or
flail and scream.
I mean, comment on things. Reblog. Like, people love comments, so go find fix.
Oh hell yeah!
Make up goofy tags about things, and make up like cute nicknames and trauma that you're suffering because of the cuteness of Bulbasaur or something, you know, or have an emotional breakdown over somebody's fake hair. I mean, it just like...
That's your brand.
That's my brand. Yeah, I was going to say. Well, people are asking my advice. This is how I do it. But in seriousness, like, that is how I got into the Dragon Age fandom, is I stumbled upon fan fiction. I didn't even really know fan fiction was a thing. And, I was like, oh, cool. People do this? Well, I can do this. And so I wrote some and jumped right into the little community there. And the rest is
Pretty much history. Just do whatever you feel comfortable doing. Write, draw, comment, just talk with
people. I always feel like, you know, like, what's that bit in, how do you do, fellow kids? That guy. What's that mean? I always feel like that when I'm going into a new fandom, because it's funny, because fandom is, in a lot of ways, a young thing. And I know there's like, we're all olds and we're all fandom olds, but especially whenever I go to a new fandom, it does always seem to be that the ones who start off the core of the fandom are in their 20s or in their late teens. So if I jump in at 42 and go, oh hey, here's some really 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 disgusting fic about a cat, I'm worried that
does that count?
I might be giving
does
the wrong impression. Like, yeah, have some cat porn. No, that's not what we wanted. No.
I mean, but on the flip side of that, by doing exactly that, you draw the people to you in the fandom that are interested in the same things that you are. So
yeah, just put yourself out there. And
so in Miri's case, you'll draw all the gross people to you.
And... people will either flock to you or avoid you.
Yeah, and either way, it's a good thing.
Either way, it's good for you.
What you're putting out will get away from you. And
jump in head first, unapologetically.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the best advice, and it's definitely what I've been doing lately. Because I've been spreading out into a whole heap of different podcast fandoms. Podcast fandoms are so cute and sweet and small and tiny, though. It's like, I mean, I know that the Dragon Age fandom was never as huge as, say, something like Supernatural or
Marvel
or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or Marvel, yeah. But podcasts feel even smaller than Dragon Age did. It's very cute.
I remember shifting from Dragon Age into the Marvel fandom, and I was really writing a lot of fic back then. And I was used to my stuff getting like maybe 8 hits, you know.
Yeah.
And then I started publishing Marvel fanfic, and like it was in the hundreds almost instantly. I'm like, whoa, what happened here?
I think my most hit on story in AO, I'm gonna actually do a little check. I think my most hit on story in AO3 is actually still my Big Swordor fic, actually, which is interesting because Swordor is quite a small fandom as well.
Yeah.
I think it can work either way, because then sometimes in the smaller fandoms they're so hungry for anything that if they get something really good, it will get everyone in the fandom.
I'm still sad that my my Dragon Age Lucifer fanfics only got like 4 hits. That was a fucking genius.
Philistines, all of you.
I know. So dumb.
Don't appreciate fine art when they see it.
Yeah. But that's a good way. I mean, even if you're nervous about talking to new people or whatever, it's a good way to draw people to you.
Mm.
So then you can find people to talk to in the fandom without, like, if you're nervous about just, like, jumping in and talking to random people.
Yeah.
If you just jump in yourself and just, like, make your own posts, then
yeah.
It will bring some people to you.
You make your own brand.
I mean, you might have friends that you didn't know were into a certain thing that as soon as you jump in, they're like, oh, you like this now?
Oh, man, I was meeting with my production manager in the middle of a run of a show, and I made a Dragon Age reference, and he was like, you play Dragon Age? I was like, maybe. Maybe.
Okay, guys, you're going to laugh your head off at this, but my most hit on fic is actually the one that's got the cat porn in it.
That counts. Mark that one on the board.
Mark it on the board. 7,620 hits. Someone's reading it a lot over and over again.
That was a self burn. Those are rare.
mine are getting more and more common. Oh, that's hilarious. It is actually a combination of lots of different fics, that one. So it might not just be the cat porn that's getting the hits, but you know.
There might actually be some quality writing in there that people actually enjoy.
Look, it's good porn!
Oh, speaking of fandom flirting, give us some hot tips on how to Twitter flirt. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that our totally anonymous question asker is referring to how to get the attention of people on Twitter so that you can interact with them more, not in the, hey, nice shoes, wanna fuck sense.
Sliding into their DMs.
Don't flirt with people on Twitter that way. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
No.
If I seem like I'm flirting with you on Twitter, it's me being hyperbolic.
Yes. That was a very interesting, totally anonymous question. And funnily enough, I was thinking about it earlier today. And I think it's funny, the best way to flirt with, like, when I'm Twitter flirting, it's because I like the things that someone creates. So,
yes.
Like, with Chuck Wendig, it's turned into a campaign to actually just get him to be my best mate, which is
right.
But, it started out because I enjoy his work and I wanted to. Actually, I was looking at the first part of my Twitter flirt with Chuck Wendig was when I wrote a review of Aftermath. When I was in Hawaii, remember?
Yeah, the one about it needs more gay.
It needs more gay. Because he was getting panned on Amazon because there was a gay character in it. Like, and I was like, oh, cool, that means there's gay in the book, so I'll buy the book and read it. And bought the book and read it, and there's like 2 lines referring to the fact that the guy's
ironically
gay.
There's been much more gay Star Wars books, but they're about ladies, so I think no one, like, none of the gross guys notice.
Because
they
didn't
bother reading
it
anyways. Like, the Padme book, super gay.
Super gay, is it? Are all the Handmaidens together. Cool.
Yeah.
This is nice. I like that.
I think
The Ahsoka one's fairly gay, but it doesn't pan out.
Is it explicitly gay, though? I heard it wasn't explicitly gay, the Ahsoka one.
There's a girl who, like, clearly likes her, and she, I think, is explicitly at least a lesbian or something. But Ahsoka, it seems to be, like, is more, less explicitly in anything. So it was very disappointing in that sense. But then there was the same author, I think, that wrote the Padme one, and then she was just like, "Let's just go all,
let's go full gay."
Yeah, two of the handmaidens are like married or something, and
yeah,
it's all good.
That's
so good.
One of my goals, one of my many lofty goals as a novelist, is to build up enough of a reputation slowly as I go, so that by the time I'm at like my 5th book, I can just do whatever the fuck I want.
Yes.
Like, let's put all the gay in
up.
It.
I'm just going for it.
Let's put all the gay in
any,
it.
I don't see any reason to hold back on the gay.
Oh, so, I don't either. Yeah. I'm just, I.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just dive head first.
I think
like fandom.
I think the best example of that is Rick Riordan coming back to Percy Jackson. Like he built up a nice base, and then when he got prolific enough, you know, he was like, so here's some gays, and here's some trans people, and here's some gender fluid people, and all of it.
Yes, it's so good.
So that's the proper way to use your platform.
Yes. Yeah. And, but then Chuck Wendig, I mean, they've Star Wars fired Chuck Wendig because they're fucked, but the reason why we're talking about Twitter flirting, and I wrote a review of his book to counteract all the dude bros who are being fucked about it, and it was along the lines of, this is a great book, but there's not enough gay in it. And I tweeted him with the review, and we ended up getting into a small conversation, and ever since then, like, every now and then he'll reply to one of my tweets, and whenever he does, I go, yes, friend of the pod, Chuck Wendig.
yes.
And that, but it's a long con for him, because I'm determined that eventually he's gonna be my best mate, and we've roped Sam Sykes in as well, because Sam Sykes and Chuck Wendig have this ongoing Twitter conversation, so that's how I did it with that. But yeah, liking stuff that they make is a really, really good way to ingratiate yourself to someone on Twitter.
Yeah, I think my most successful Twitter flirt was with Chip Zdarsky.
Oh, I follow his actual, like, he had a personal account that followed me, Chip Zdarsky. I think it's since been deleted because I haven't seen anything out of it for years. But his actual, like, his name's not Chip Zdarsky. It's something else.
No, it's not.
And his personal account followed me back in the heady days of
was it his real name, because it was like another persona of running for mayor or something like that. But I remember that one.
Mm. But that was interesting. How did your Twitter flirt with Chip Zdarsky go? What did you
Well, it started out with the infamous Captain America dreams.
Oh, I didn't realize you told him about that.
I didn't.
Oh, was it me? I hope it wasn't me.
No, it was my friend Jill. Uh-huh. And she made a big deal about it on Twitter to like a bunch of different creators. And mm-hmm. at the time I was like, I really wish you hadn't done that. And then she went to, I think, Emerald City Comic Con and commissioned him to draw me some art.
That's right.
Yeah. The Captain Ameridic.
You need to take a picture of that. We'll put it on the Patreon so people can see it, because it is fucking classic.
That'll be for our top tier contributors only.
Yes. adults only can see the Chip Zdarsky.
Capricorn and Captain Ameridic. Get all the good stuff at the top tier.
That's the quality content you can find here at Bye Bye Bye.
You know that's the episode title now. Cat porn and I just got a nice message from my husband. Cat porn and Captain Ameridic.
Well, I think it was like freedom is hard or something like that. I think is what it says. And there's like whiteout on the top of it, spurting from the top.
Oh yeah.
I remember it. I can remember it vividly. It leaves an odd flavor in the back of my mouth.
So after that, I was a little less intimidated about talking to him. And then he remembered me when I went back to Emerald City the next year. He was like, oh, you're the Ameridic girl.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was. So that was my most successful. I think right now I'm also courting Chuck Wendig and Gail Simone.
Gail's so lovely. Gail's just so lovely. We had a little exchange with Gail Simone about somewhat mansplaining. I'll find the tweets and I'll put them up as well, because it's pretty funny, because some dude tried to mansplain and then apologized very, very nicely to me, but because Gail Simone was tagged into the conversation, she sort of responded with, oh, you need to understand, oh my goodness, you're making fun, she said to me, and I was like, yes, I am making fun. It was very funny. She's such a classic.
Yeah, I think my favorite is when she was talking about how the Punisher needs to smile more.
Oh my god.
And they all lost their shit. Now if you understood the Punisher, you would know.
And she, so she takes a picture of a bookshelf full of Punisher comics, like trades that she's written that yes. have her name on them. And she just posts them with no comment. And the guy was like, so what? It's a bunch of books. You read comics. She was like, dude. Someone comes along. The they're name. Like, her name is literally fucking on the comic.
It's perfect. She's just perfect in every way. I love it so much.
There are a few perfect people in the world.
Gail Simone is definitely one of them.
Definitely one of them. Hi, Gail. Yeah. We know you listen. Friend yes, of the cast.
Friend of the pod. Two friend of the cast.
Friend of the pod, Gail Simone.
Twitter's just become this... Twitter's just a weird, weird sort of window into a world that... shouldn't actually exist. It's just it's there's something terribly wrong with the world that has Twitter in it.
The traffic fluctuations on Twitter are so like bizarre. Like you can come in and be having like a serious talk about like race dynamics, and like 5 seconds later you're talking about, I don't know, your bathing suit strap breaking while you're at aerobics. I don't know.
Just, you know.
Just
as
off
a
the
random
top.
Example.
A random example off the top of my head. And for anybody that was worried, my bathing suit strap did not break at Aquazumba this morning.
That's good.
There were no boob accidents. But no boob epidemics.
Boob epidemics. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of platforms like Twitter. I think we have some time for this. Fuck, marry, kill, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Oh, I got this instantly. Kill Facebook, no question. Instantly. Fuck Twitter, because it's, you know, fun for a short burst and then whatever. And then I'd marry Instagram, because it's usually got some quality that's worth coming back to.
Yeah, I feel like Instagram is like my most stable platform.
See, I'd marry Twitter. Just because
I'd never marry Twitter. I always have to take breaks from Twitter because it drives me mad.
I have to take breaks from my husband sometimes as well. So
that's fair.
I think yeah, we have to kill Facebook. Like, I mean, I know millennials are trying. they need to step up, man. Step up
your game, Claire. Step it up.
Like, you couldn't.
I'm doing pretty good. I rarely post there.
You couldn't fuck Facebook because it would be like that annoying boyfriend, that annoying dude you fucked once and then never ever stopped calling you.
Yeah, the one who just didn't get the hint.
You'd be like, yeah, hey, I heard you liked this, so look.
How about
look at this thing I found you?
Yeah. Like people I haven't spoken to in 20 years are finding me on Facebook now. I'm like, all right.
No,
which is fine for retreat. Now, since I have a book coming out this summer.
Yeah, it's funny how Facebook has become over the years. Like when I first started on Facebook, it was fairly new. I think I wasn't one of the first, but a lot of my friends were very, very
early. I loved it so much in the early days when it was just college students. It was a different thing entirely. It was full of so much. It was just stupid and fun.
It was like grown-up MySpace. Like, I was still using MySpace. Yeah. I got MySpace and Facebook at the same time. Like, I was so behind on the internet.
I never had MySpace, so.
Yeah, I never had MySpace.
One of my friends was like, oh, congratulations, you and China got onto MySpace at the same year. Oh
yeah, I enjoyed it when I first, and it was a competition when you first got on Facebook to get as many friends as humanly possible, and I was just friending everyone I'd ever known, anyone I'd ever met in a bar. So for a while there, I had like upwards of 500 friends on Facebook, and it was like only in the last 5 years where I've just gone, quick, delete everybody you've ever met, just delete. Then no one, I don't want anyone on there ever again.
And then you realize what a bad idea is. You start pairing things, or as I do, you start being obnoxious until people just leave.
But then when I started circulating in the author community in Australia, they all have Facebook, and like they literally only use it to talk to other authors, so it's not or their families, and it's much it's become a very different space now for me, and I actually don't mind it so much because I'm not you know, seeing posts from that girl who stole the part from me in the Year 10 musical anymore. I'm seeing I'm seeing relevant things about what I'm interested in. So, but I prefer Twitter just because I don't know. There's something. Facebook just feels like a creepy uncle, or something like. You know what I mean? It feels like someone who's.
You know who the creepy uncle is. The creepy uncle is the one who has remained out of this conversation.
Tumblr.
Tumblr. Who didn't even make the FMK list.
No. Tumblr's not negotiable. You can't fuck, marry, or kill Tumblr. You are infected with Tumblr. Tumblr is in your bloodstream. You can't get rid of it. It's there forever. You can't fuck, marry, or kill it. You're stuck with it.
They couldn't drive us off when they got rid of the porn.
Nope. And then now it's apparently isn't owned. Is it? It's not owned by anyone anymore, is it? They just sort of gave it up.
No idea. No, I heard it's
still owned, but it's just not really managed much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a dumb site. I love it so much. I wasn't going to fuck, marry, or kill Tumblr just because
ew.
Yeah, as I said, let's investigate. It's infected me and I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, Twitter I come back to in fits and bursts. Like, this is my first return to Twitter that feels solid. Like, I've never it either always moved too fast for me or it was too upsetting, like people were just too angry all the time, and all of a sudden I come back and I don't know if I've curated my list better or what, but I feel more ingrained in Twitter now. Like, it's more comfortable than it ever has been before.
I have gotten rid of, like, I went through and got rid of a lot of political follows, and like, it's just, it's fatigue. I haven't got enough mental acuity to deal with the horribleness that is the world.
Yep.
So Twitter has become a place where I flirt with Chuck Wendig and fight with mansplainers, but not seriously. Like that guy blocked that guy pretty quick. And Facebook as well. Facebook is bad because it doesn't just show you the content of the people that you like. It shows you all this bullshit promoted content. I mean, Twitter does the same thing, but it's littler, so it's easier to get rid of. You know what I mean? And I just, but I've never used
half
Instagram.
My fucking Twitter feed because it's always like, well, like half the shit I see is stuff that you guys have liked or that are talking. Like, so it's like, here's something that Imogen liked. Here's something that Brandon liked, and I'm like, can I just see the things that I followed, please?
Actually.
Their algorithms are weird like that.
Yeah, and so I have a lot of political stuff on my Facebook, on my fucking Twitter, even though I followed literally no one.
It's
exhausting to me.
I totally had something to say and now I don't remember.
<That's> okay.
Oh, let's go on to a question.
Huzzah!
Is Wisconsin a real place? No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
There is no Wisconsin, only cheese and Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, there's just cheese and cheese heads.
I don't even know where Wisconsin is supposed to be, is allegedly. Where
allegedly.
Is it?
Allegedly, it borders part of Canada, but it really doesn't exist.
No?
No.
It doesn't exist.
Wisconsin is actually an old Native American word meaning no state here. I can't back that up.
What's the capital of Wisconsin?
No idea, because it doesn't exist. So
cheese.
Cheese.
Which dovetails into how much cheese is too much cheese.
There's no such thing as too much cheese either.
I guess it depends on who you are. I'd say there's no such thing, but I think if
you're Imogen, it's very little cheese.
Yeah. No. I may be lactose intolerant, but that does not stop me, as you well know.
Well, it doesn't stop you, but it's still too much, arguably.
If it was too much, I'd be dead.
I feel like you and your stomach are at odds over this one.
My stomach and I don't get on very well at the best of times. It's not very happy with me.
If you can't poop, that's too much cheese. Eat less.
See, well, I've never gotten to that point, so clearly no, not too much.
I don't know if, like, too much information.
There is no such thing on this podcast.
I poop more when I eat lots of cheese. But then I eat lots of runny cheese, like camembert and stuff like that. I think that does actually perpetuate.
Was that like the soft, the soft cheeses, yeah. Non-pasteurized cheeses or what? Like everything
the cheeses you're not allowed to have in America.
Soft,
because...
soft cheeses, soft poo.
Yeah, the one, everything you can't eat during pregnancy.
Oh man. I mean, that did piss me off because one of the things that was affected me quite badly during pregnancy was constipation, because. They make you take lots of supplements,
including iron
and folate. So it just like it's so horrible. Don't get pregnant, guys.
Don't get pregnant.
But yeah, but the things that would have given me diarrhea, some relief, I wasn't allowed to eat. So it was like, go and get some chili and some chili and some soft cheese and some sushi, and then I wouldn't be bunged up anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking like I missed my opportunity to have like duck and goat cheese sushi.
Fuck, that actually sounds sushi. Good. I'd eat it.
Now that we're on food.
Yay, food!
Closet in Canada says, I have sweet potato, lunch meat, and spinach in my fridge. What am I making for dinner?
Burrito.
It's always a burrito with you.
Literally, wrap that shit, like, chop it up, wrap it in a tortilla, a burrito.
Well, that was my thought. Like, do we have non-refrigerated
items? That's
true.
I guess if you don't have tortilla.
Yeah. I just assume everybody has a pack of tortillas because they're so fucking convenient.
Yeah, I always have a pack of tortillas. So that even when I have nothing else, I always have burritos.
there's always tortillas. Or if there's bread, I mean, you could do a sandwich. And
yeah,
potato,
or rice.
What was the third thing?
If there's rice, I'll also make some sort of ungodly stir fry.
Potato, lunch meat, and spinach. So a sandwich with spinach and lunch meat and sweet potato wedges.
No, I say sweet potato wedges, fry them up with the lunch meat, chop up the lunch meat next to it.
Ooh, like a hash.
So make sweet potato hash with the lunch meat stirred through it.
I do that all the time.
Steam the spinach on the side with some garlic and a little bit of butter.
No. Wilt the spinach into the hash.
Oh, you could do that too, yeah.
Yeah, spinach and sweet potato go together really well.
Yeah, that'd be nice, actually.
That would be another thing you could do is make a salad with roasted sweet potato and wilted spinach.
Yeah, that HelloFresh used to give us a sweet potato salad, wilted spinach salad all the time. My kids hated it. I don't mind it.
Yeah. I think spinach is one of those things you have to grow into. I didn't really like spinach when I was little, and now I love it.
I think it depends on how it's presented to you.
That's also
good
true.
Spanakopita.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you spinach, if you put enough cheese with it, spinach is great.
Yes, cheese and buttery
cheese
pastry.
Cheese and butter.
Yeah. Cheese and pastry, and it's all good. In fact, I think I may well have to go to the Greek place for lunch today and get myself some spanakopita and some halloumi.
They had the grilling cheese at the grocery store today. I might have to plan some kebabs into my meal plan this week.
Big problem I have with halloumi is that they do. There's this great sort of Greek chain here that does halloumi chips, which is basically they just basically cut them in chip shape and fry them, and they give you a nice box full of it with some lemon and some oregano and stuff. But I can eat like three of them and then I'm like, oh, I've had too many, but I can't stop eating them. I had to finish the box and it just yeah. Oh, they taste so good.
The cheese will get ya. The cheese will get ya.
Cheese will get me every time.
What are we doing for time? Oh, we're doing pretty good for time.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, we could take another question. Of course, they're not related, but
Whatever.
I dovetailed into everything thematic that I could. let's see. How do you avoid telling total strangers that they are bad at their job?
How do you avoid doing that?
Yeah, I feel like this is the wrong... I'm the wrong person to ask.
Oh, that's bad. Like if it's someone who's just, like, doing a freaking service job, like, wait... like, if it's a waitress or if it's a checkout chick or a trolley guy, then... They're going to be, everyone's bad at those jobs because why would you bother being good at them?
Why would you bother being good at them? And I mean, they're trying their best.
Yeah. And to be honest, if they were getting paid more, then they should be good at their jobs. But at the rate that they get paid, then I'm afraid that you cannot, in all conscience, expect them to be good at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then even if they are good at it, everyone has shit days and gets... I mean, those jobs suck, so you get tired and it's like, whatever.
I just want them to be passively competent. Like don't... Fuck. Don't spill
just
your.
Don't engage.
Don't spill my water.
As long as you're not like poisoning me or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
If I get my food and it's not poisoned, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. The food makes it to the table and everything is correct. And even then, like I'm usually understanding. Like, oh, well, I guess I could eat this. It's not that bad. Like the only thing I will send back is like if I'm at a pricey place and I get steak. I will send the steak back if it is overcooked.
See, I'll send it back if it's undercooked. Again, they hate me for that because it's like,
oh yeah, definitely.
You're not meant to eat steak with cooked in it. It's meant to be, you know, waved over a flame. And I'm like, fuck off. If I want meat raw, I'd just buy it from a fucking store. I'd eat it from the packet.
I like my steak perfectly medium rare. And there are a couple places that have a really good policy about redoing it if they screw it up. But if I get it like medium, I can't. Like it just ruins the experience for me. Well, I guess it also depends on the type of steak too. But like a filet mignon has to be medium rare. Anything over and I'm just done.
I like my steak gray in the middle.
Gross. So gross.
They're not supposed to be gray.
Are they gray in the middle if they're cooked all the way through? And if you've cooked out all of the juice.
I'm glad you're in company with Donald Trump, and that's about it. In liking well-done steaks.
Now I'm going to have to eat them.
I used to like steak done as like charcoal briquettes because I couldn't wrap my head around eating something that wasn't fully cooked. And yes. As I got older and worked in steakhouses, I got better at it because the other cooks would make fun of me. They're like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? It's a $30 cut of meat.
God, it just tastes so much better if you don't overcook it. It's so much more tender and delicious.
I don't eat steak very often. It's one of those things that actually actively disagrees with me. So I don't tend to eat really red meat. When I do eat red meat, it tends to be roasted. Rather than barbecued or
Red. I like it medium rare or stewed in something. So
yeah, a good beef stew is always nice. Speaking of beef stews. I told you guys I got a slow cooker, didn't I?
But yes.
I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, audience at home, man. You have no idea how much Imogen loves the slow cooker. Like
I am going to divorce my husband and marry my slow cooker.
She slammed right into the 1980s with the slow cooker. Like the rest of us are getting Instapots and Ninja Foodies. And Imogen's like, oh, I got a slow cooker. Why didn't I get one 20 years ago?
Yeah, I'm so upset with myself for not getting one 20 years ago.
That's what everyone else is asking. Why didn't you get one 20 years
ago? It's just when I was young and I didn't have kids, all right, and I was living with my husband who could cook a little bit but not very much, I used to just have like 6 or 7 things that I'd cook. But we lived in Newtown. Which is like foodie heaven. Again, I live in really, you know, trendy, gentrified areas of Sydney, and so we didn't bother cooking at home. We just went out, out for meals pretty much every night. There's like, or we got Thai takeaway or whatever because it was just cheap and easy. And
just a couple of you, you know, and it's almost cheaper to buy takeout and share it.
Yeah. A lot of the time it was cheaper to buy takeout. So we would just eat out or get takeaway. And then when we had kids, they won't eat anything because children suck. So you end up and anything that is stewed, like my kids still won't eat anything that's stewed. I served up one of my beautiful slow cooker stews the other day and my son just sat down at the table and went, it looks like vomit.
No.
Thanks. Thanks, son. Oh. It's really nice of you to say that. Have a piece of meat, then fuck off. Anyway, So they don't eat anything. So they're just like, okay, so there are certain things they'll eat. They'll eat meat and three vegetables, but all of the meat has to be separate from the vegetables. You can't cook anything together. There can't be sauce or flavor, because if you have sauce or flavor on it, they won't eat it. So
flavor is spicy. For one.
Yes.
Like with little kid palates, like every black pepper is spicy. Like, I don't like that it's spicy. They want the blandest food. And everything has to be, well, okay, in fairness, everything still has to be separated on my plate. Like, my dream are those little plates with dividers in them, so that, like,
those
nothing touches.
Those little plates that... Yeah.
The TV dinner plates, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So, for 10 years, while I had kids, it was just, you know, chicken schnitzel, carrots, broccoli, potato.
Yeah.
Separated out.
Well, and sauces are made to hide things. Like, I only got suspicious when gravy or tomato sauce or something was pulled out, or the ketchup came out already on it. Uh-huh. That's when I knew I was getting, like, venison or liver or something like that.
I just really did not like sauces. I didn't like gravy. I didn't like salad dressing. I didn't like anything when I was little.
Yeah, no, it's same with my kids. They don't like it. My daughter's just finally coming out of the no sauce phase. But you know what sauce she likes, which makes me think that she's not mine, even though she did come out of me.
I was going to say ranch dressing, but you don't have that.
No, there. I love ranch dressing. Oh, okay. She loves mayonnaise.
Well, clearly you just need to get her into those the feminist studies classes or whatever.
She's not a millennial, so she's not going to kill the mayonnaise industry, but she loves it.
Yeah, it'll already be dead by the time she gets.
Yeah, she's going to have to reinvent the mayonnaise industry.
she's going to throw off the bell curve.
I'm going to teach her how to make it, actually, because you can make I can actually make whole egg mayonnaise, which is quite nice. But
it's not hard to make. I just can't bring myself to do it. I have like an immersion blender and everything, which is one of the best ways.
I just
to do
don't
it.
Eat enough mayo to bother.
I actually like aioli, but only like it has to be the smallest amount.
Oh my god, aioli is just mayonnaise.
No, it's got garlic in it.
Flavoring. Yeah, it's usually
it's got
garlic
in
something.
It.
I mean, it's just mayonnaise that you put things in. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all my aioli recipes start out with mayonnaise. Like, add a cup of mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the base of aioli, but it's got other flavorings.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the base flavor of mayonnaise without anything else in it is gross to me. But if you put, as soon as you put garlic in it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't want large amounts of it, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I used to have my favorite breakfast when I used to work on Oxford Street in a cafe was a Turkish toast sandwich with bacon and aioli.
Ooh, interesting.
It was the best. Just bacon and aioli. We weren't allowed to have bacon because it was this is hilarious. I mean, you've worked in the service industry, so you know what I'm talking about. But
yep.
The head of the place that I worked used to have conniptions if we ate any meat, because it was more obviously meat is more expensive.
It's more expensive
than vegetables. But you know. Why? Anyway, so I used to get a sneaky bacon sandwich from the chef who likes me every morning. don't tell the boss. I'm giving you a sneaky bacon sandwich.
That's funny. That's what. Yeah, I only make aioli when we do like seared tuna or blackened tuna, and it's just mayonnaise, lemon juice, and garlic. That's it. Maybe a little black pepper. But you gotta have
tuna. My husband won't eat tuna. My husband won't eat tuna. My kids won't eat food. So
I don't really like tuna so much as I like seared tuna or tuna as sushi. Like, I really only like ahi.
Tuna sushi is the best.
Yeah,
I agree.
So good.
And a tuna steak. Like, and I like a tuna. I really like to say with tuna, I want it rare.
Yeah. Well, that's like the best way to do it. Like, sear it or like quickly
blacken
it. Well,
yeah, a lot of fish, it shouldn't be overly...
If you have a look,
rubbery.
I've told you to listen to Peter Russell Clark, haven't I? That chef, the Australian chef who used to do like 5 minute bits between TV shows when I was a kid. He was like his household name, employed by Kraft Cheese to serve, advertised cheese whenever he did his cooking shows. But 30 years later, it's come out that he was a fucking swear monger. Like, he swore every second word. Every time he fucked up in the show, he just goes on this massive tirade about how fucking this and fucking that and fucking that. So a TV show here got him on to do a cooking segment where he was allowed to swear. instead of a cooking segment where he had to be all wholesome. And he's talking about cooking a salmon. And he says, yeah, put it on the pan for 30 seconds. 30 fucking seconds. Okay? That's all it is, 30 fucking seconds. You take it off, you fucking eat it. It's fucking delicious.
See,
Peter fucking Clark.
See, I grew up with, like, lake whitefish, and you have to cook that. It's gross if you don't cook it all the way, you know. So the concept of fish that you ate raw or undercooked was always so bizarre to me. Like, we lived in Hawaii like 13 years and I've only like started eating sushi in the last 5.
Yeah, no, whitefish is not good if you don't cook it through. I mean, I don't mind a couple of the whitefish sushis.
Yeah, there are a couple.
It all depends on the fish.
Yeah,
honestly. It does.
There's a couple, but like, because we grew up with that fishery, like, I can't bring myself to eat white fish that's raw. So I just can't wrap my head around it.
No, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But tuna raw just is beautiful.
So good. It's like, poke is like my favorite lunch.
Yeah, there's a poke bowl place that's just opened near me. I haven't actually tried it yet. I don't think I had poke when I was over there with you.
Probably right. Not, because I wasn't eating it at the time.
No, we lived on
Taco Bell.
Masubi.
And Masubi
and Taco Bell.
Yep.
I made Masubi. You know, I've been making some Masubi here because I missed it when I came back from Hawaii, and I posted it up on Facebook, and like, as per usual, like 60 white people went, oh, that's spam, what are you doing? I'm like, it's fucking delicious, fuck off.
Yeah, it's delicious. Like, it's a great cheaper alternative to bacon, to be perfectly honest.
It's bloody lovely. There was one time where I cooked up the spam for the masubi, but I'd forgotten that I didn't have any of the other ingredients. I just put the spam in the oven with the soy sauce and everything, and I was there waiting for it to cook, going, smells so good, smells so good. And but no rice. And so I just took it out of the oven and ate it.
See, that's the other bits. That's the really rare occasion when we don't have rice. Like, I just always assume we have it, and so like, on the rare occasion we run out, like, I feel like the worst wife of an Asian person ever.
That's honestly the reason why I'll run out of rice or tortillas, because I just assume we have them,
right?
And then we suddenly don't, and I'm like, no.
Oh my god, speaking of rice and tortillas, like, that used to be my favorite snack. Plain steamed white rice with a little drip of soy sauce rolled up in a tortilla. I don't know what it is, it's so satisfying.
That's a good flavor. No, it's so good.
It is. It just works really well together. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And the texture is perfect. When I worked at a Mongolian barbecue, that used to be like, we would all crowd around the rice machine in the back, the rice maker.
Yeah, I would do, if I was really stretched for making food, I would also sometimes add hot mustard to it.
Yeah.
And that's a good combination.
Yeah. Like, you can do anything with a tortilla. If you don't have a pack of tortillas in your house right now, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, go get one right now. And then if you're like, oh god, I've only got these three disparate ingredients, throw it in a tortilla.
Because I guarantee, even like for a sweet tooth, I guarantee there's someone out there who bought a canister of cinnamon to make pie at Thanksgiving, and they forgot that it's in there. Now you just mix that with some sugar, put some butter on your tortilla, sprinkle that on there, throw it in the oven, and you've got like basically an elephant ear, but you know.
Yeah, the lazy man's elephant ear.
The lazy man's elephant ear. We called them dog ears.
Yeah, I don't have a packet of tortillas in my house, so you can probably disown me now. I don't like them much.
So weird. Flour tortilla, it's like the staple of life.
Yep.
Yeah, I would rather have, like, bread.
Yeah, see, I don't like regular loaf bread. Like, you know, the kind that you buy at the store that's all sliced up. I don't like that. I don't like it, unless it's...
I mean, we have problems. I mean, you're like me as well, because you're in Hawaii. We have problems with bread, because if you don't keep it in the fridge,
yep,
it goes moldy because of the moisture in the air.
Yeah. So the same way here.
You can't leave it in a bread box. But that means that as soon as you put bread in the fridge, it stops being nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's part of the reason I have tortillas and rice all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's so humid here. It's like, yeah, it's if we have bread, it lasts maybe a few days. And then it's like, whoops.
And I prefer soft corn tortillas for tacos.
Oh, yeah. But, soft corn tortillas.
Oh, like, I do too. For I didn't that, yeah, used for tacos, to. Definitely.
I didn't used to. But over the past year or so, it's the way they're supposed to be usually anyways.
Yeah.
And
it honestly, like, the filling makes the difference.
Yeah.
Freddie,
I keep on trying to convince my husband.
What? So you just expect me to get it out for you? He came out here with the one elastic band that is still remaining in this house that since I haven't pulled up the rugs in a while, and he got it in his water dish, and now he's looking at me like, help.
There's a worm in my water dish, Mom.
It's in my water dish. Hey, we're about at time.
Time's up, yep.
I told you guys we were going to get interrupted by a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
It's not a real podcast without if you don't get interrupted by a cat at least once.
Yeah, exactly. What does your cat do to interrupt you? Tell us at bibicast@gmail.com.
You can also go to byebyebyecast.tumblr.com, where we've got links to Patreon, we've got links to the Twitter, we've got links to the Facebook, links to the Instagram, links to all of our personal Twitters and shit. Yeah. So
we are social so media mavens.
Yes, come flirt with us on Twitter.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, and now this is actually true because I've been saying it, but then I looked and one of the links was broken, so I didn't actually have links to our Twitters.
That's okay. When I set up that Instagram, the Instagram broke like right away.
We will see you all again next week. It's been a pleasure.
As always.
As always. And I would like to apologize again for last week's episode.
How dare you?
I'm not apologizing.
How dare you? I apologize. I will not apologize for art.
I stand behind it. Yeah, that was some freeform art right there.
We had some really... I was feeling really sick. And, that's just...
Yeah, we're all various stages of sick or tired or...
Yeah, or both.
That's honestly when we peak.
We peaked. I think that the thing that was funny because we really started off the episode well and then it just tailed off into chaos. And...
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We picked ourselves back up about midway through and then we fell off again.
Yeah. There's a couple of things we might be wanting to skip in last episode. We will all see you all next week where we will probably be just as coherent as this week.
And provide you just as quality content.
Quality content. Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
What are we laughing? Stuffed,
I don't know. I was just like, I pressed go and then I stuffed half a muffin in my mouth. I'm like, I gotta eat it before we start recording, otherwise I'll sound terrible.